And we've got former Governor Jesse Ventura back with us here on Coast to Coast AM. And when we come right back, we will take your phone calls about all the things we've been talking about next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Jesse Ventura with us. We'll take your calls. Jesse, I've received more emails on you tonight than anybody who's ever been on the show. You have hit the top of the charts, Mr. Ventura.
For real?
Yeah. I mean, up. And you know what? Some for, some against you.
George, I got to get out of here and get off the grid and go hide.
Yeah, well. Hey, and also for people to understand, you did not sue the ex, the widower. You sued the estate.
Yes, let me make this clear. I started the lawsuit 1 year before the tragic death of Chris Kyle. And then when he died, there's a great thing. If people want to read, there's a thing out right now, the National Review online, and it's by A.J. Delgado, a conservative attorney. And it's Justice for Jesse. Ventura was right in his lawsuit. I urge people, go to the National Review online and read that, because it'll explain everything. It's the natural progression of a case. If, unfortunately, the litigant dies, it then automatically goes to his estate.
True. What would you have done, this is all speculation, that after he died, she came up to you and said, Jesse, I want to apologize. I have reason to believe this was all made up. Can we just drop this matter and I'll go public with you? Would you have done that with her? Yeah,
absolutely, I would have. That's all I sought in this whole thing, was an admission that the story was fabricated. And give me, you know, George, I can't go to a SEAL reunion now. And I've been to more SEAL reunions than I've been my high school reunions, and I've been to every one.
Well, is that because they have picked him over you?
Many of them, and because I would never feel safe now. That was the one place, George, where I always felt I could go. I was amongst my brothers, and I felt safe. Now, if I went, I would be looking over my shoulder the entire time I was there.
I would guess that if you could turn the clock, you probably would have wished he never wrote that book, never included you, and this would never have happened.
And there was no need for it in the book. If you read the book, it's about what he did in Iraq and why was this put in. All it did was sell the book.
Well, you know, he was number one. He was truly a sniper and a darn good one, wasn't he?
Oh, certainly he was. And the problem is he came home and put me in the crosshairs. I'm lucky I just got wounded.
Do you even remember meeting him in that bar?
No.
That's the funny part about it.
I meet, when I go to those events, SEAL events, I probably meet 40 to 50 people or more minimum in one night. And when they come up to me, here's my fault. My fault, the fault of Jesse Ventura is when people ask me questions, I try to give them honest answers, and that today can get you in trouble because sometimes people won't agree with your honest answer. But when you're getting peppered, question, and that's what happens to me when I go in public. I don't run around on a soapbox giving, you know, political speeches. People come up to me and they engage me and they ask me questions and I'm honest. I tell them what I really believe.
All right. We're going to take some calls here. I have no idea what they're going to call and talk to you about, Jesse, but let's go for it. Here
okay.
We go. Let's go to Paul. First of all, he's in your neck of the woods, St. Paul, Minnesota. Paul, get us going. Go ahead.
Good morning, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure
and Jesse, I've been a proponent of yours ever since I can remember. You're right about the media. First off, I want to thank you for your service. I, too, am retired military.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your service.
Oh, it was my pleasure. And I don't know what's with the media's target on your back, but it really should stop. I encourage you personally to go run for president as, you know, an independent.
Well, it's easier said than done. You know, I appreciate that. I'll tell you why I have the target, because they fear me. Every time they think they've beaten me, the mainstream media thought this was my death sentence. I mean, look at the situation. I'm going against a war hero and his widow, and I won.
And you win. And you win in a defamation case, which is very difficult to win. I mean, as a public figure, it's very difficult to prove malice.
Well,
and
let me also give credit to my attorney, David Bradley Olson, because he's been my attorney for 20 or more years. And ironically, last year he was named the best attorney in the state of Minnesota.
And here's another point, too, Jesse, that if the estate happened to have been flat broke, no money from book revenues at all, you still would have sued to clear your name, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. But the estate is not broke.
No,
they have all their bills paid. And the estate, the way we're reading the insurance policy, the estate is going to pay nothing. Even the unjust enrichment happens because of the defamation.
So the insurance...
So they're linked together. According to my attorneys, the insurance company will pay the whole thing, and Taya Kyle will not be out a nickel. She didn't have to pay for any lawyers.
You know what? That's important for a lot of people to know.
You know, she's not going to, apparently, according to my lawyers, she's not going to have to pay nothing. That it'll all come out of insurance.
Well, isn't the publisher responsible for this, too?
Yeah, I believe so. They did no due diligence. You know, I've had people write, there was a book out called Under and Alone. It was about an ATF agent named William Queen who went undercover and infiltrated the Mongols Motorcycle Club. And in the book, they refer to me because a long time ago, I was a full-patch member of the Mongols Motorcycle Club. but they wrote something in that book, but get this, before about me, but they sent me a copy. And they said, please read the book and call us if you have problem with anything. And I did. I had problem with the, they said the Mongols were, they started in 1970 as your typical white supremacist motorcycle club. And I said, I would never join anything white supremacist. I said, a biker is a biker. That's a lifestyle. It ain't the color of your skin. You either are a biker or you're not. And she said to me, well, how can you prove this is not true? And I said, pretty easy. I started laughing. I said, the Mongols are 80% Mexican. I said, I have never met a Mexican white supremacist.
No. Did you ever see the Breaking Bad? Oh, you don't watch a lot of TV.
To get to the point, George, they removed it then. They still talked about me, but they took that out of the book.
They did.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. They did.
They were smart, too.
You know, well, they were making an honest book. And I proved to them, I said, in fact, the Mongols came about because the Hells Angels won't allow Mexicans.
So you believe, though, if you do collect on this $1.8 million judgment, it's coming from an insurance, maybe an errors and omission policy or something.
Yeah, it certainly is. According to my lawyers, it is. It's their side that said the other. But remember, their lawyer works for the insurance company.
Right.
And they're still trying to paint me as the villain.
Now, what are you going to do if they come back and say, hey, let's just settle, we won't appeal? Would you consider it?
Oh, I'll go through appeal because I thought Judge Kyle, no relation, was very lenient to them. You should see what happens in court, George. It's an amazing process. The truth sometimes is not allowed in.
That's true.
Now, how can that be when the court is there to seek the truth? How can they keep the truth out?
I'm amazed that you won. In that, I just think being a public figure, you know, sometimes people will say anything, and the courts always say, hey, he's a public figure, and that's so-and-so's opinion. But you pulled it off.
Well, because I was damaged and because it was a flagrant, total fabricated story. And it hurt my career. I lost conspiracy theory because of it.
I believe you did.
No, because we had finished that, and they were supposed to air the third week of January. This thing broke the first week of January. They didn't air them till the following fall.
When you heard that Chris Kyle had been murdered at a gun range, what did you think?
I was astounded. I mean, I hurt. And I say this because I feel so strongly about with my allegiance to the underwater demolition SEAL community that whenever one of them dies, a piece of me dies with them. That's how tight-knit we are. And that's why this is so hurtful to me. I've now been cast out, at least with many of them, and I didn't do anything.
Probably the younger ones, I would guess.
Well, they're the sons. I mean, these guys weren't even born when I had already served.
Well, but what are they upset about? I mean, are they upset because you won protecting your name? Or are they upset because...
Well, the major thing, they felt I was attacking the widow and children of the war hero.
Well, if they knew that this was probably coming from an insurance policy...
Well, that's just it. Remember this, George. The plaintiff usually doesn't have insurance. The defendant usually does.
Right.
You can't have an insurance policy to sue someone, but you can have insurance to protect against lawsuit.
Sure.
And so people need to use that common sense and go, I was the plaintiff. I'm paying out of my own pocket. The defendant is covered by insurance. And so it's me. I'm really the it's me against the major insurance company. I'm the little guy. I'm David fighting Goliath.
Well, David, you pulled it off.
Yeah, I got him right in the head with the slingshot.
Benjamin, first time caller in Biloxi, Mississippi. You're on with Jesse Ventura. Go ahead, Benjamin.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, George.
Sure.
It's an honor talking to you there, Governor.
Thank you, Benjamin.
Yes, I'm a United States Coast Guard veteran, and thank you for your service. And I wanted to tell you, Mr. Ventura, you've got to run for president. You will win. There's truth in your voice. Everything you say is the truth. You're a professional wrestler. You're a movie star. You're a governor. What's next, president?
But Benjamin, there's a problem, and I figured it out. You know what it is? I don't think I can be president because I tell the truth.
You told me a few years ago that there was a grassroots campaign to get you going, that you'd consider it.
Yeah, I said that if a grassroots campaign got me ballot access in all 50 states.
Uh-huh, that's right.
And if they could reasonably guarantee they would rise up and march if I wasn't included in the debates, because you have to be included into the debates or the public does not think you're legitimate.
I agree.
And so see who controls the debates, the Democrats and Republicans. They took it away from the National League of Women Voters. They did that way back after Ross Perot scared their pants off.
Well, look at Ron Paul. He was clubbing them on internet poll results after debates, and the media still ignored the guy.
Exactly. See, people need to understand the media works for the Democrats and Republicans. Why do you think I get attacked like I do? Whenever I rattle my sword about going for national office, strange things start happening to me.
I can imagine. Let's go next to Peter in my old hometown of Dearborn Heights, Michigan. Hey, Peter, go ahead. Good to hear from you.
Hello, George. Yes, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Good. Talked to my mom today. She's doing well.
That's great. And I'm really impressed with Jesse Ventura. What's happening now is, just like he's been slandered, I worked for a man that got slandered, Lyndon LaRouche. And
oh, yeah.
He was running for president, and he warned about these bankers being broke, and he warned about the derivatives bubble. And that's why they slandered him and said he was a criminal. And he won the primary in Michigan, and we went to Lansing, and George Soros brown-bagged the Democratic Party, and we never got to get LaRouche to speak in California that year. But back right now, today is a real important day because they just mentioned Dearborn as being the number two terrorist area in the country. Number one is New York, population centers. And they're slandering these Arabs before they do anything wrong. They're American citizens, just like Jesse and me. And I feel that before you are called a terrorist, they've got to prove it. And I think, Jesse, that we've got a problem here because Hamas and Israel, they're not backing away from war. They're going to go into it just like George said, that Russia is flying their warplanes. And so we've got all these multi-points going off. And here in the United States, they're trying to start the terrorist group by putting these Muslims underground. What would you think about this, Jesse?
Well, again, I think that wars are all totally manipulated. I have a very strong belief that whenever they're started in places, there's a reason. We never know why.
Who benefits, Jesse? Always ask yourself that.
Exactly, and they're done for money. Always look that there's money behind every war, because there's profiteers whenever there's war. And remember this, who's the biggest arms dealer in the world? The United States.
Yep.
We sell all the weapons of war throughout the world, and then we get involved in these wars throughout the world. So until we change our culture and we change this perception of, do we really believe that ISIS is going to do a Normandy invasion in Virginia? I mean, come on. Our military is the most powerful in the world. We can defeat anybody. We got enough nukes to blow the world up 100 times over. How many more? And we're building a new carrier. For what reason? And now I hear we're building a new set of jet fighters. Well, eventually we peddle these throughout the world. And if these people come back on us, it's called blowback.
Yep.
Coming back on us for things that we've provided them and reasons for them to come back at us.
And let me tell you what happened in Iraq. After we went in there and, basically no shots fired at the time, Saddam's army took their uniforms off and ran away. When we installed Maliki as the president, instead of having him try to work something out with those people who supported Saddam Hussein, that regime, the doctors, the lawyers, the teachers, and the military, and try to get them in the fold, they fired them all. They got rid of all of them. They Yep. lost their jobs. They lost their homes. Those are the people today, Jesse, who are coming back with these fanatics fighting us again.
Well, I take you back to who was the decision maker, Bush and Cheney.
Yep.
Look at George Bush's record. Everything he did, he ruined.
What are your remarks, on President Obama, high or low?
Oh, they're not good, because he made a lot of grandiose promises, but he's governed. I can't tell the difference between him and Bush, other than he's tried to provide health care.
And that didn't seem to work out too well now either.
Well, they claim it's doing pretty darn good.
Well, I don't know. I talked to a lot of people.
I don't know. But to me, if we would stop spending money on all these wars, we could have health care. How come congressmen get to choose between 5 different plans and we, the people, get one?
And we'd have enough money to insulate the power grid. We wouldn't have to worry about that going
down. Why aren't we looking at taking care of our infrastructure? I drive to Mexico every year, and I got news for you. Our highways aren't looking that good anymore.
We're going to come back in a moment with Final Calls with Jesse Ventura. His website, we've got it linked up for you, aura.tv/off the grid. And we will be back with your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Final segment with Jesse Ventura. Jesse, now my emails are flowing back your way ever since you mentioned that the insurance company might be part of picking up this whole thing. See? Funny world.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, you know what's weird, George, is when you're in court, they sometimes won't allow the truth. Like, I've been on blood thinners since 2002, and so if I get punched, I bleed, and bleed a lot.
You must be on Coumadin or something like that.
You got it. Well, yeah, in court, I'm not allowed to say that I'm on Coumadin.
Why not?
Because I'm not a doctor.
But if you're on it, you're on it.
Well, and I'm on them for life. And I'm also not allowed to say what Coumadin does.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's the truth. And so it's not. But here's what I can say. I could say I was on blood thinning medication. And I can give examples like I can't shave with a blade. I can only shave electric. or my skin
bleed. Good
and,
point.
And one time I used a Q-tip like we're not supposed to, and I cleaned out my ear. Have you ever hit your eardrum?
It hurts.
Oh, boy, does it hurt.
As a matter of fact, ear doctors will tell you, stay away from those things.
Yeah, not only did mine hurt, mine bled for 6 hours.
You punctured it. You're lucky you didn't go deaf.
You know, mine bled for 6 hours because the blood won't coagulate.
Jeez.
Well, that was another huge point in the trial, a real turning point, when the jury realized if this guy hit me with enough force to knock me 6'4", 255 pounds then, to the ground and leave no mark, because we had photographs, close-up photos of me, and I don't have any marks, and all of my witnesses said that's baloney. We were with him all night. In fact, two of my witnesses said I left before they did.
Hey, let me ask you this about wrestling, by the way.
Sure.
So when you guys throw punches at each other, you're really not doing it to hurt them, are you?
You're not doing it to hurt them, but you got to lay them in or the people ain't going to think it's real.
Is the victor already determined?
Sure.
So, I mean, do you know what, though?
I think, you know, I was talking with, I can't think of his name right now. Great, great wrestler the other day. How come wrestling's not an Olympic event?
Well, wasn't it like Greco a long time ago?
Wait a minute. Pro wrestling.
Because it's not real.
It's no different than someone doing a dive and being judged by a judge. It's no different than figure skating. You're performing. Have experts. You could have teams from every country. Matches.
My producer, Tom, wants to know what happened to the wrestler, the Butcher.
His brother, Mad Dog, just passed away, Mad Dog Vachon.
Oh, was that his brother?
Yeah, Butcher Vachon, Mad Dog and Butcher. Mad Dog just died at age 85, I think he was, in Omaha.
Those were the days.
Oh, they were fun.
Do you remember, who was the wrestler a long time ago when we were kids that did the claw? You know, he would stick his claw hand into somebody's...
Well, there were multiple. It seemed to go with German wrestlers. You have to remember, in the old days of wrestling, it was all ethnic.
And the sleeper hold. Boy, you and I could do a whole show about that. We should do that one day.
Well, in wrestling, every German's a Nazi. Every Asian or Japanese wrestler throws salt. You know,
yeah.
Those are just standard, because it was very much hero against villain.
Yeah, always.
In the old days of wrestling. And it was a fun time in a way, because it really exploited our prejudices.
Did you know Vince McMahon?
Sure.
What a genius for what he's done.
Well, I actually worked for his father, Vince Sr., in 1981.
Well, Vince is worth billions now.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So Vince McMahon is P.T. Barnum of our generation.
Yeah, he is. Let's take some more calls. People are probably saying, what are they doing talking about wrestling? Let's go to Andrew in Casper, Wyoming. Andrew, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you doing tonight?
Good, Andrew. Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call. I just want to let you know I'm a prior veteran myself in the Marine Corps.
Thank you.
Did a couple tours overseas, and now I currently work back overseas for a private security company.
Okay.
Just a few points for the governor. I understand his side to saying how Chris Kyle, you know, had slandered his name and all that. But with him passing away, isn't there a way that Jesse could just, you know, let this be bygones. I understand, you know, it affected his reputation and all that.
I would have if they would have admitted it. I didn't want money. Money was awarded to me by the jury. I told from the start, I said, just admit the fabrication and give me back my name, and they wouldn't do it. And the reason why, they were making so much money. This book made $40 million. The widow and the writers made $6 million. They got a movie deal with Clint Eastwood. If I wouldn't have sued, this would have been in the movie.
Well, they're going to have to take the part out where the big guy gets punched out in a bar.
You're darn right. In fact, it was kind of interesting. When I was on the stand, the opposing attorney said, Mr. Ventura, would it surprise you to know that the first draft of the movie doesn't include you? Because they were trying to downplay me,
yeah.
Right? And I said, no, it doesn't surprise me at all. We've sent them two letters, and we've told them if it ends up in the movie, Warner Brothers will be next to be sued.
Yep.
Well, I know Warner Brothers. I've worked for them. They don't knowingly walk into lawsuits.
You've got to protect your name, Jesse. That's what we have. That's ours.
Exactly.
It was given to us by our fathers, and you got to protect it.
And let me just say this. Here's another reason. Both my mother and father are World War II veterans, and my brother and I are veterans.
Yeah, I know that. Let's go to Bob in Queens, New York. Hey, Bob, go ahead.
Hey, George, how are you?
I'm fine.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Yo, listen, I think God wants Jesse to write for Britain because he told me to write this song. You want to hear it?
How long is the song?
Very short.
Go for it.
Run, Jesse, run, run for president, run, Jesse, run, run for president, run, Jesse, run, run for president today. Oh, when you were a wrestler, you took him down. When you were a governor, you took him down. Now we need you to turn the country around. So run, Jesse, run today. Run, Jesse, run, run for president. We need you. Run, Jesse, run. Run for president. Run, Jesse, run for president.
Okay, okay. Looks like you got your own Obama girl there, Jesse.
Well, I'll tell you what, if it catches on, like I said, George, if they give me ballot access in all 50 states and I can do the debates, I'd give it serious consideration just to give them hell.
And you could use that as your theme song as
sure,
you enter the role. Bob,
well, that's got to be up to them. It has to come from them, like this guy. He's got to get it rolling, not me.
Bob, would you travel with Jesse and sing the song at every event?
Hey, I'm in music, George. I got big things going on with my snowboarding, and I've got a lot of things going on.
Well, on a serious note, though, you know who else I'd need to get on board? I'd need to get the rock singers with me.
Well, we could do some of that. We've got some that would love to support you.
Because, I know Glenn Frey would of the Eagles because he already told me.
He's good.
And people of that nature. The other guy, too, would be...
We get ZZ Top behind you.
Well, that'd be wonderful. And not only that, the guy Tommy Morella from Rage Against the Machine.
You'd have to grow a long red beard, though, with ZZ Top.
Yeah, my wife would kill me because I always threaten to do it. I always tease her and go, I want to grow a ZZ Top beard. And she goes, you want to be sleeping alone?
Yeah, we got to get you to meet them. You'll love them. They're great, great guys.
I actually met the short bass player on David Letterman.
Dusty. Yep.
Yeah, years ago. He was on Letterman when I was there.
Have you been asked?
And I would love to meet Billy Gibbons.
Billy's a dear friend of ours.
Well, he did a phenomenal Foxy Lady at the 25th rock and roll thing.
And then the drummer, Frank Beard, is the only one without a beard.
Yeah.
I love it. Do you get asked to do these late night TV shows anymore?
No, I don't get asked at all now.
Hmm. Well, you would if you announced, that's for sure.
You got to remember, mainstream media, they're solidly Democrat and Republican, and they're not going to promote. You saw it with Ron Paul.
I know it.
They're not going to promote anybody that's not in lockstep with the two gangs.
Why is it that no U.S. president ever went to Cuba and sat down with Castro and said, let's work this out?
I would tell you if Jesse Ventura became president, I would immediately reach out to Cuba and I would return them Guantanamo because what are we doing with part of their country?
I agree. As much as it's been a military section for us, I'd give that back.
Well, how would we feel if some other country,
we'd hate it.
Put a base out in Palm Springs?
We'd hate it.
Come on, the United States, let's get our heads out of the sand. And let's look around and truly be the leaders of the world. And when you're the leader of the world, people shouldn't have to fear you.
I would love to see you with Vladimir Putin. I bet you two could work things out in about 2 hours.
Well, you know what's interesting? My first interview after I won the court case, the very first interview I did live, I did with Russian television.
They must have loved you.
Above anybody else. And you want to know why, George?
How come?
My son left L.A. after being out there 12 to 14 years. he signed and is now producing for Russian TV in D.C.
Oh, wow. Well, he did a great job on True TV, too, on Conspiracy.
Well, anyway, though, like I said, he called me and he said, Dad, can we get the first interview? I said, Ty, of course you can. Blood's thicker than water. Naturally, I'll give you the first one.
Is he living out there now?
Yeah.
Does he like it?
He loves it.
Amazing.
Yeah, he's living out. He rides the metro every day. And he works for Russian television. I kind of laugh about that.
Well, next up, let's go to John in Sheridan, Wyoming. Hi, John. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Another great show with a great guest.
Jesse,
I have had the problem with Fox with those people on the Five bad-mouthing you mercilessly. And on two occasions, I call them. You can't get through to anyone, so you just leave a message.
Sure.
And I asked them to call me. I left my name and phone number, as I do every time. And I said, look, I served in the submarine service during the Vietnam War, and we had UDTs, underwater demolition technicians, on my sub. And those guys earned their pay. I said, by the way, you wusses on the Five, why don't you ever talk about your sterling military service record? I mean, these guys are a bunch of Velcro commandos, and there they are besmirching a man like you who laid his life on the line innumerable times because, like I said, we had UDTs on my sub, and these men earn their pay each and every day. And I think it's disgraceful when you have this pseudo network of conservatives. The Fox News Network is not really a conservative network because their owner, Rupert Murdoch, is a longtime member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And so they just pretend to be conservatives, but in fact, they're just neocons. And they would badmouth a real patriot like you just for their own personal self-aggrandizement.
Well, I appreciate it, and I concur with you completely. I have no love for that network or any of the people who work for it. I won't say the name of the submarine, but I operated off a submarine that was specifically made for us. It could lock out like about 18 to 20 swimmers. Is that the one you were on?
Oh, you probably hung up.
Oh, okay. Well, we might even have served together for all we know.
But maybe.
Also, what used to be fun, too, George, is we used to have to lock out of the torpedo tubes occasionally. That's always interesting.
It sure is. It sure is. So do you think if you had not brought the lawsuit, if you had just let it go, even though I know you had to defend yourself, I would too, that most of this would not even have occurred for you?
No, most of it would have occurred even worse because I still couldn't go to a SEAL reunion because they would all believe the story was true.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
And I couldn't allow that. No matter what the consequences were to me, I could not allow this story to perpetrate that it was true, and now I feel good because now the world knows it was false.
Let's go to Lou in Arlington, Massachusetts. Get you in here, Lou. Go ahead.
Hey, George, what do you say?
Hi.
Hey, listen, I'm telling you, between tonight and last night, you've had two fantastic shows off the hook.
Off the grid, as we say.
Listen, Governor.
Yes.
You touched on something a little bit earlier, and I'm really intrigued by it. I wonder if you might elaborate just a bit. You mentioned the murder of Pat Tillman.
Yeah.
I was wondering just what your take on that is. I mean, I've had a couple of suspicions right from day one.
There's a book about it, and, you know, they were untruthful because Tillman had kept a diary and they burned it.
Well, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Pat Tillman had a diary, I'm only speculating here now. Let's get this real straight. But I got a feeling Tillman was going to come back. He was this national hero. I mean, he was. This guy quit the NFL. He turned his back on millions of dollars, joins the Army and becomes a Ranger and goes to war. I mean, that's the epitome.
Oh, absolutely. Young, good-looking guy.
Oh,
he had it all.
Breathtakingly good-looking.
Had it all.
What if he got over there and it wasn't what we were being told back here and his diary said that?
That's a good point. Definitely
kill. And I understand. I understand you can get killed by friendly fire. There's no doubt about it.
That tragically
happened. Having been a SEAL, you know that that risk is always there. But the fact that they covered it up afterwards, I met his mom on the book tour. It's called Boots on the Ground. And I urge people to read the book. And when you read the book, that's why I refer to the murder of Pat Tillman.
Tragic. The whole thing's tragic. Jesse, we've only got about a minute or so to go. And we've been looking at all these problems that we're faced every day. People are upset. People are concerned. Some people don't even want to listen or watch the news anymore because they just want this to go away. Are we ever going to change this?
We can't do that. It's called being a vigilant citizen. Jefferson, Adams, and Washington all told us the only way the republic will survive is for the citizens to be vigilant. And that means you got to be active. You got to take part. You got to do what I do. Hold their feet to the fire, because if you don't hold government's feet to the fire in this republic, you will get bad government. And remember, bad people can get in charge. If you don't believe me, go talk to the Germans.
Good point.
You know, the governments are made up of people, and people can be evil. It's our job as citizens to be vigilant. And we're not getting that. Everybody's sitting on their hands and saying, oh, let me live in my little world and don't bother me. And if we do that, the great country of the United States will fall like Rome did.
Well, let's make sure that people like you stay in there and continue to battle away to make this thing right.
Well, it gets expensive.
It sure does.
It's in more ways than monetary.
Take care. Where are you going to be? In Minnesota for a while?
I'll be here a little while, but I'll be back off the grid before you know it, because I got to be ducking those drones, man. The day wouldn't be normal without that.
I lived in Eden Prairie for 1 year when I was working at KSTP Television.
Do you know how rich Eden Prairie is now?
Oh, it's huge.
Know how rich they are.
Oh, they are.
Their high school has a dome.
As soon as I left, their net worth went way up.
George, their high school football team has a dome.
That's amazing. Jesse, take care of yourself.
Okay, thanks, George. Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Jesse Ventura fought the good fight, defended, got his name back, and a jury awarded him $1.8 million, which, by the way, you have to go collect. The courts don't give it to you. You got to go get it. He believes an insurance company will write it, that it won't come from the widow of Chris Kyle. I shall be back in a moment as we talk about the secret space age with Olav Phillips next.